On this website, there's a lot of different categories. So when one goes to this website, you can search for nude or semi-nude images based on categories. So, for example, you can look for college bitches, accidental nudes, which most of the photos would be pictures that were taken without someone's knowledge or even aware that they were having their photo taken at all. Some amateur teen photos. And they also have a search where you can search for, and this is their title, not mine, sluts by state. And you can search by state and also specifically by county. And currently there was 67 high schools listed on there for Illinois. So I could go on and search for a high school in Illinois and pictures would potentially come up of girls who attended those high schools.
It is illegal, isn't it, to take someone's picture, particularly someone in a state of undress, and put it up on the internet?
Yes, it is. And in Illinois, we are one of, I believe, 36 states that has a revenge porn statute. And unless that person is giving permission for you to disseminate that photo, you are not allowed to just place that in public, the public arena for people to view.
What motivates people to do something like that? Get hold of a nude picture or take a picture that they have and put it up on the internet?
I would say there are different motivations. One might be a ex-spouse or intimate partner who is angry with that person. And so this is a way of getting revenge or getting back at them by putting this picture up there. For this case, for this website, a lot of those pictures are actually just pictures of people they don't know or didn't have an intimate partner relationship with. And so I would say for that, it's seeing women as objects, not really thinking about them as people or that they have value beyond their attractiveness or their bodies.
This case, as you mentioned, relates to high school students, mostly high school girls. What do we need to be teaching young people, especially young men, about appropriate and moral use of social media and the internet?
Which is a hard question, but I think that part of this is societal in the fact that we often value women for how they look. And so for a lot of these young men, which it's young men who are, you know, principally the users, they would see these women as sexual objects. They don't think that they're doing any harm. They just like looking at their bodies. They like looking at these pictures. They don't have any empathy or sympathy for what that woman would experience by seeing her picture online, her naked picture, her body that she does not want the world to see. They don't think about what it would be like to be that person. So I think empathy, sympathy, and then also value for women beyond their physical appearance.
Well, I'm just curious. I mean, don't these people know about Playboy and Hustler? I mean, you can get the same thing in a much more polished version. What's the allure of these kinds of candid pictures?
The allure, I think, is that they're real people who they may know. And so especially if you wanted to find somebody who went to your high school or someone in your community and you wanted to see what they look like naked, this website could potentially give you that opportunity. Whereas, you know, the women in Playboy, they usually don't know. I mean, they potentially could, but they don't know them. And then they also, you know, could potentially access these women if they wanted to.
What would you tell the young women themselves? Because in some cases, they shared these pictures with mm-hmm. people they thought were friends or boyfriends. What should we be telling them?
That is a hard one to answer also, because as young women, especially if we're talking about the high school-aged girls, you know, want to express yourself to the person you're in a relationship with. And so us as adults saying to them, don't take naked pictures, don't take naked videos, don't send these to your boyfriends, we can say that. And, you know, maybe that is even the best strategy, but realistically, I don't think that that's going to happen. I think that most people who share these pictures or videos think that that person would never do that. So, you know, the best advice you can give anyone is to be careful and not, I always tell my students not to victim blame, because no one thinks that that's going to happen to them, and they don't go into sending that photo thinking that it would end up on the internet.
As you referenced before, 67 schools were on this list mm-hmm. as having some of their female students online. A half of them, when they were asked by the NBC affiliate in Chicago to respond, said they had no idea. How could the schools not be aware that this is going on?
I would say unless the students are actively talking about it within hearing range of teachers or, you know, administrators, people who work at the school, they're probably pretty oblivious to a lot of things that go on within the school. And you know, thinking about this in terms of even the parents might have no idea that this website exists or that their child was even sending these pictures to their boyfriend or girlfriend.
What do you think schools can do?
We focused recently on a lot of cyberbullying, and we've been talking about bullying in schools, but we haven't necessarily addressed things from a sexual nature, and this I think is something that needs to be addressed. And anything that relates to sex, schools usually do not want to touch
right.
Or address. But I think that if this is happening to students in our schools, it's something that we need to talk about.
How about parents?
I would say parents need to talk about it also with their children. But once again, children, you know, parents don't want to talk to their children about sex, and children don't want to talk to their parents about sex. But I think that people need to understand that this is not just an image on a screen, that this is a real person who is probably suffering as a result of having their picture on the internet.
You were in here just a few weeks ago. We were talking about a rape that was live streamed on the internet, on Facebook. These incidents seem to be increasing.
It is increasing. And particularly in the younger sort of generation or segment of the population, which kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, people do not seem to connect with what is on the screen to a real person. People often don't think it's as serious because it's on the internet. And I'm not sure what we can do to change that. The Facebook Live rape and the Facebook Live murder were the extreme versions of that. But here on this website, we see all of these images of young girls and people, you know, collecting them and sort of trading them almost like they're trading cards or baseball cards of people, you know, wanting to get these naked images of people that they know. I'm not sure where that exactly comes from, but I don't think it's going to go away.
Talk a little bit more about the recourse women had. You said that there is a revenge law in Illinois. Is there anything else that they can do to, A, prevent this from happening, and B, once it happens, get that stuff off the internet?
Prevention, obviously, would be don't have any naked pictures of yourself. So this isn't just sending it to a partner or a friend. This can also be having naked pictures on your computer or phone, because sometimes people are hacking into people's personal clouds or personal devices or taking it off of that device. So if you really want to protect yourself, don't have that available. Like I said, that's not often the most realistic option. If it does happen to you and you did see it, the best thing would be to do is to take a screenshot. So you would have that image captured and write down all of the information, you know, so the time that you saw it, the date, if it said who posted it. So sometimes these are anonymous, but you could write down the numbers or the username and be able to have that information to show to law enforcement.
Can law enforcement do much about this, though, after the fact?
It depends on who disseminated the photo. It also depends on the server of who the internet company is that is housing these photos. So for the Anon IB, it is an overseas server. And so that presents some problems with jurisdiction and who is responsible for enforcing these laws of things that are happening here in the United States.
So there's a lot of area in the law that needs to be updated to address some of these issues.
Yes. And the internet is, you know, a tricky thing that a lot of people are still trying to work to understand.
And what about the internet companies themselves? You know, Facebook and Google and Instagram and all of that. Who oversees something like Anon IB, the site that we're talking about?
So for this site in particular, I was looking today. There is a petition to get this site shut down. So they were collecting signatures to go to the FBI. They want this site shut down because of the implications for child pornography, but then also for implications of violence against women and treatment of women, because it's women that are on this site. And so thinking about this, you know, can we get this site shut down? I don't know. A lot of these types of sites might, even if they do get shut down, pop back up under a different name. My own personal opinion, I don't think that these sites serve any purpose. I would argue that this is different than a pornography site, as these are real people who did not necessarily give permission for their images to be on the internet.
Would it be different if it was on Facebook or Google or Instagram?
I think so. I mean, Facebook and Instagram have both taken measures to try to ensure that these things don't happen and taking down images. You know, there's been scrutiny of, well, how quick is, you know, fast or we, you know, rapidly take down these images. But this site, it lives basically to post naked pictures or semi-nude pictures of women, whereas Facebook or Instagram serve other purposes. Unfortunately, people do use it for this purpose, but oftentimes those images are eventually removed.
Dr. Shelley Clevenger is with the Criminal Justice Sciences Department at ISU. She is the author of The Virtual Enemy, The Intersection Between Intimate Partner Violence, Technology, and Cybercrime. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm Judy Valente.